tomorrow night when Dr. Gabriele Ferrario reveals a secret side to life in medieval Egypt, one governed by alchemy and magic. That's at the same time tomorrow night, 10:45.
The tragic story of a young girl who falls passionately in love with a man who thinks he knows it all. Tchaikovsky's Eugene Onegin, Opera on Three, with Simon Keenlyside and Krasimira Stoyanova, in Caspar Holten's first production for Covent Garden.
The fascination with Onegin is that it's really everyday characters almost falling in love, being rejected, being vulnerable. The idea of friendships breaking up and misunderstandings and then growing up and having regrets is something which I certainly wanted to look at in the piece.
One of the most talked about productions at Covent Garden so far this year, Tchaikovsky's Eugene Onegin, Saturday night at 6 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
And just a mention of tomorrow night's Radio 3 Live in Concert. It ends with the Symphonie Concertante by the Belgian Joseph Jongen, a life-affirming piece from the 1920s. For the most part, a celebration of bright major keys and of just how transparent the organ and orchestra combination can be. If you love the Saint-Saëns organ symphony, try not to miss the Jongen if you don't know it. Tomorrow night's live concert starts here on BBC Radio 3 at the earlier time of 7 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock, and now Late Junction with Fiona Talkington.
Wash the new way, the tumble wash way. The Liberator tumble wash costs only 75 guineas, and look what it does for you. It washes, it rinses, and it spins, all in one tub. Turn one dial to heat the water as hot as you want. Turn another dial to wash, with a gentle tumbling action that forces suds through every fiber. One lever rinses till the water's crystal clear. Another lever spins. You never touch the clothes yourself until they're spun and sparkling clean. Wonderful tumble wash. The only 75 guinea one tub washing machine. Made by English Electric. Made to last.
I wish my washing machine sounded like that, made to last. Well, that was a Daphne Oram advertising jingle made in 1962. Well, I've been featuring the music of Daphne Oram all week ahead of our Late Junction collaboration session tonight, which brings together sounds from the Daphne Oram archive and the electronics duo Walls. They were really excited about doing this, and you can hear Sam Willis from Walls talking to me later on, as well as Dr. Mick Grierson, who looks after the Daphne Oram archive at Goldsmiths College. The great jazz pianist, composer and thinker, poet as well, Sun Ra, died 20 years ago today. On the cover of his album Jazz in Silhouette, he wrote, "In tomorrow's world, men will not need artificial instruments such as jets and spaceships. In the new world of tomorrow, the new man will think the place he wants to go. Then his mind will take him there." This track is called Enlightenment. Thank you. Sun Ra and his orchestra, as he called his band, playing Enlightenment from the album Jazz in Silhouette. As I mentioned, Sun Ra died 20 years ago today. 100 years ago yesterday saw the first notorious performance of Stravinsky's Ballet, The Rite of Spring. I've always loved his ballet Les Noces, seemingly rooted in Russian tradition, though Stravinsky himself said that he borrowed nothing from Russian folk music apart from one song. There's a recording which features a folk-inspired ensemble, the Pokrovsky Ensemble, which I love for its earthiness. Les Noces means the wedding, and the first scene is set inside the bride's house on the morning of the wedding. Her friends, her podrushki, getting her ready for the bridegroom to take her away, and her mother and friends try to console her.
Yeah.
A traditional Russian wedding song, The Steam Bath, sung by the Pokrovsky Ensemble, who also performed Stravinsky's ballet Les Noces, The Wedding, on that CD. And first of all, Dara played you the opening tableau of the ballet, the bridesmaids trying to console the bride before the groom arrives to take her away from her home forever. Now, this is the great flamenco singer Camarón de la Isla, first of all, with A Song of the Blacksmith.
Las dos se acaban de dar, llena el reloj de la audiencia, las dos se acaban de dar, pendiente. Vereda del camino, fuente de piedra, cantarillo de agua, lleva, lleva mi yegua. La rompe la mano, la espuma levanta y la va a romper la mano y sobre la arena blanca y que yo me duermo para el sol. Thank you.
ama que el sol ay, de tu vida Andalucía ay, la, 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 la. Con el palo y la vela va mi barquito cruzando la bahía ay, muy despacito y cairoso cuando el viento la sopla ay, corre garboso, corre garboso.
That's a song from Cadiz, Pueblos de la Tierra Mía. Camarón de la Isla joined there in that second song by Paco de Lucía. First of all, Camarón on his own in that wonderful Blacksmith's song. And you'll find details of all the music I'm playing here on Late Junction on the Late Junction playlist, and you can find that via the Radio 3 website. And if you want any further details, do drop us an email to late.junction@bbc.co.uk. This is bass player Steve Lawson now from an album from 9 years ago. It's the title track from Grace and Gratitude. Thank you.
as death under the sea. The clouds move in a wasted wreath.
Roderick Williams and Ian Burnside there in a song called Motion and Stillness. It's by Vaughan Williams and comes from his Four Poems by Fredegond Shove. And just before that, Arva Henriksen, Jan Bang and Audun Klever, Poverty and Its Opposite, which comes from the excellent album Cartography. And first of all there, Steve Lawson and the title track from his album Grace and Gratitude. You're listening to BBC Radio 3 and it's time for the next Late Junction collaboration session. And tonight we bring together London electronics duo Walls, that's Sam Willis and Alessio Natalizia, and the archive of electronics composer Daphne Oram. I talked to Sam and also to Dr. Mick Grierson, who looks after the archive at Goldsmiths College of the University of London. I talked to them about Daphne Oram's legacy and what it was like using this to inspire new music. Before that, here's the first of the pieces they made.
Thank you.
Opening the latest of our Late Junction collaboration sessions between London electronics duo Walls and the music of Daphne Oram. And I'm joined by Dr. Mick Grierson of Goldsmiths University and Sam Willis of Walls. Mick, can I turn to you first of all? Tell me a little bit about Daphne Oram. Who was she? Because she died in 2003. What was her legacy? Why is she important?
One of the main things about Daphne, which makes people love what she did, was that she's a real pioneer. She was doing things in Britain with synthesizers, building her own synthesizers, creating her own studios, long before anyone else really, or long before most other people were interested in doing it. She was instrumental in the founding of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, which of course is a really famous institution and part of British sound culture, but was very much one of her solo projects. It was her kind of pet project. You know, she would get all the equipment at the BBC and in the evenings and put it all together and make a studio, produce electronic music, and then put everything back again. She would just put the whole thing back again so that in the morning she could go to work and everything would be exactly where everyone expected it to be, and then build the studio in the evening again. And around 1959, she went and decided, you know, I'm just going to leave the BBC and build my own studio in Kent. And she was very single-minded, a very independent person, decided that's what she was going to do, and made experimental music. And her music is very, very interesting for the time. And these days, when we listen to it, it sounds quite contemporary.
You talk about equipment, and of course we're talking about equipment of 50 years ago, and things have changed so much in the technological world over that course of time. For someone who's more familiar with the technology of today, walking into the studio, what would they see? What exactly was she using that is so different, that really marks it out from what we're surrounded by today?
Well, to think of it this way, a studio is not much more than a laptop in a room and some speakers. But when Daphne was putting together a studio, it was a number of tape machines, large tape machines, you know, really, really big devices that just played back one or two tracks at a time that would have to be synchronized. So if you wanted more than two tracks, you'd have to have, you know, a number of different tape machines, tone generators of different kinds, of different types of tones. Everything that was used for recording, everything was on tape. Tapes were cut and spliced together, so there'd be tape everywhere, all over the room, hanging in loops and then large cords of tape. Also, there'd be bespoke machines that engineers would have made for her to do specific things that she wanted, and machines that she'd built herself. And also, she pioneered the idea of having the studio in the round, so that you would sit in the middle and be surrounded by equipment all around you, which is something that the Radiophonic Workshop then went on to do, and it became one of the hallmarks of their studio approach.
So, Sam Willis of Walls. Sam, what was your first encounter with Daphne?
Well, I only really became aware of her sort of quite recently with some of the work that Mick has done with record labels, helping to release, you know, archival stuff which perhaps previously hadn't been heard. Listening to it, I was completely struck by just how contemporary it did sound, and there's a physicality to her music which is kind of missing from a lot of our modern electronic music. So that was one of the things that really kind of struck me when I first heard it.
What was your brief? And I suppose if someone coming new to the music, to Daphne's music and to your music, how can we hear the differences and the marriage of you both?
Well, to describe the process, we went and met with Mick and visited their facility and went to see Daphne's original recordings on tape, which they've been digitising over a number of years, and we were able to select the sounds that were of interest to us to then sort of take away and kind of scratch our heads as to how we could incorporate that into a new piece of sound art or music, as it were. Because for us, it's very important to be respectful to her musical legacy and not to kind of ride roughshod over it and kind of just, you know, put some beats underneath it. It was important to kind of try and key into the feelings and the emotions that were kind of very, very evident, and something that I personally felt like when I was working with her sounds and with her sort of melodies was almost a sort of sense of like a musical seance of like they're very suggestive, and it was really kind of unique in my experience of having made music to work with something, you know, these very, very special sort of recordings, and to hopefully do them some justice of bringing them into a format which perhaps makes them somewhat more accessible and listenable in terms of melody and sort of structure, to perhaps the average listener, because the state that some of them were in were, again, this might be something that Mick can clear up, but almost kind of experiments with timbre and sound, which we could then extrapolate into melody and into structures to kind of create a listening experience from that, but hopefully which would retain some of that emotion, perhaps mixed in with some of ours, almost like a sort of mingling of blood somehow.
I'd certainly like to know more, Mick, about the archive, but I think we should hear a bit more music for now.
Thank you.
Well, more music from the collaboration between Walls and Daphne Oram, and with me in the studio, Dr. Mick Grierson of Goldsmiths University and Sam Willis of Walls. A lot of Daphne's music, her compositions, were written for very practical purpose, commercial jingles, that sort of thing. What have we just heard there? You know, we were smiling as we were listening to it. This isn't all terribly serious art music, but it's got a very practical purpose, very sort of visual and engaging side to it.
It is definitely true that the work that she did had professional purposes. And a lot of that work, she's really trying to turn experimental approaches to sound into a business. You know, oramics is this term that she used to define processes, or to describe processes that she engaged in, and also just as the name for her business. And as a business, she was trying to key in to other things that were happening in the media industry at the time and provide sound effects. Sound effects and music in the same way that people like Raymond Scott had done in the United States. And you can see that on the first Oramics CD and vinyl that we were involved in. A lot of that stuff is on there. But at the same time, alongside the hundreds of recordings of Little Brown Jug that we have in the collection, there are very, very long excerpts of very strange music, and much more of that stuff than people imagine, which is very dark music, very personal music, which she doesn't really describe in great detail, but that's really fascinating. And what I liked about this project was that Walls, Sam and Alessia obviously really engaged with that side of what she was doing as well. And that's, I think, really crucial from my point of view, speaking on behalf of the Trust and of Goldsmiths and the collection. We don't just see her as a professional making music for adverts and for TV and film. We see her very much as a composer in the same way we'd see any other British composer, like Benjamin Britten. And she deserves to be seen that way.
How did you fall in love with her and what she did in the first place?
It was the sound of her voice, strangely. The music is incredible. And I did love the music. As soon as I put on the first tape and listened to the first tape, I couldn't believe it. And we were all deeply moved. And we'd heard some of it, but to have it and to be able to play it, and, you know, we were just shocked. But then when she started to describe her processes, and the amount of concentration and detail and thought that had gone into what she was doing, it was impossible for me to go back, really. I had to carve off a whole chunk of my career and stop it so that I could do this.
Sam, what was it like going to the archive for the first time?
Well, it was definitely kind of, as Mick was saying, quite a moving kind of thing in terms of these little handwritten notes and kind of details, you know, within the tapes themselves, that, you know, descriptions that really kind of call to mind her, you know, being there, you know, late at night, you know, developing these sounds in the, you know, and crazy excursions. And so for us, I think it reinforced that sense of like it being this kind of very unique opportunity as opposed to just a normal kind of creative brief.
I'd like to know a little bit more about Walls and how you got together with Alessio and how you created the processes and the musical relationship which define you now. So how did that all start?
I had actually done a remix of Alessio's other project, which is under the name Banjo or Freakout. And he had just contacted me back and said, you know, I really like what you're doing with my stuff. Do you want to continue to maybe throw some ideas backwards and forwards? And so thus sort of started a kind of ongoing kind of creative partnership, which from the first time we sat down together was immediately kind of a sort of symbiotic creative relationship where we have quite different backgrounds musically, but a shared aesthetic and a shared taste. So we actually kind of complete each other's sentences because he's a guitarist and has been playing since he was, I think, 8 years old and is very expressive with that instrument. And my background has been more one of being a DJ and kind of just an obsessive, you know, music and sort of pop music sort of fan. So I think we kind of, our minds really mesh in a quite a unique way, which creates the music of Walls. And it's been an incredible experience for me to be involved with this project with him. To go back to Daphne, one of the things that, again, that we found in parallel with her music is this obsession with sort of timbre and sound, because our music is also mostly instrumental. The only vocals we have, you know, which are Alessio's voice, are almost backing vocals. There's no lead vocals. So, and again, they kind of use this, the voice as an instrument as opposed to lyrics or any specific kind of song per se. So for us, we try and use the best of the technologies that are available to us today to try and achieve the sounds that are in our heads. So hence working with Daphne Sounds was this incredible opportunity to do justice to her music and to bring that to our existing audience and hopefully to a wider one as well.
So this collaboration for Lake Junction is very much an extension of what you already do. It seems a very natural process, but I suppose if we're looking at the very sort of contemporary way of file sharing, this is in some ways a bit of a one-way process. And yet, Mick, you're very much flying the flag for her and what she stands for and for her archive. So does that mean that what you've done actually has a life beyond what we're going to hear on Lake Junction tonight? Can you build on this? Can you use it in the future?
I hope so. It's very much my opinion and the opinion of the people who work closely around her work and her archive that we want to make it available. As Sam says quite rightly, it's a series of fragments, experiments and ideas that, you know, there are some very good large pieces, but there are also some really excellent sounds that no one's ever heard that deserve a new home. And there are many ways that people like Sam and Alessio can help to bring that to life and bring it to people's attention. And we can revisit it a lot, you know, in many different ways.
Mick, Sam, thanks very much for coming in. And it's really good to have the work of yourselves and Alessio as walls on the programme. And we certainly look forward to working with you again. Let's end with more of your collaboration. And that was the latest of our Late Junction collaboration sessions, bringing together Walls, Sam Willis and Alessio Natalizia, and the archive of Daphne Oram. Thanks to Sam and Alessio, and also to Dr. Mick Grierson of Goldsmiths College, who I was talking to there along with Sam. I'm very glad to say that Walls will be appearing on the Radio 3 stage at Latitude, which will give them another chance to play some of that material. Tonight's collaboration session is available as a podcast via the Radio 3 website. I'm Fiona Talkington. You're listening to Late Junction here on BBC Radio 3. Now, the bittern is apparently one of the most threatened bird species in the UK. It's very shy and secretive and very difficult to see as it makes its way very quietly through the reed beds looking for fish. Jo Langton recorded bitterns at the Ham Wall Nature Reserve at Ashcott in Somerset, capturing the distinctive booming mating call of the male bittern.
Friends forsake me like a memory lost. I am the self-consumer of my woes. They in oblivion's hold. I long for scenes where no man ever trod, a place where woman never smiled. There to abide
grass below, above the vaulted sky. The
poet John Clare lived out his last days in an asylum in Northampton and wrote that poem called I Am. Chris Wood worked on it with Hugh Lupton for a commission, and then he worked on another version and took it along to Professor Martin Butler at Sussex University, who helped with that piano version. Chris living with those words for so long, singing them there as if just his own. And you can find that song on Chris's new CD, which is called None the Wiser. And before that, Joe Langton's recordings of Bitterns at the Ham Wall Nature Reserve at Ashcott in Somerset. A love song now, sung in Azeri. One evening during the full moon, I saw you for the first time and lost my heart to you. The singer is from northwest Iran. She's called Zohre Juya.
Ay ışığında, kime gel? gel bize, dura iz ize, ay ışığında, ay ışığında. Gine gel bize, dura iz ize, ay ışığında.
That's Colleen and The Moon Like a Bell, which comes from her new CD, The Weighing of the Heart. And it followed a love song called Moonlight from Azerbaijan, sung there by Zuhre Juya. And almost time for me to go again. Max is here next week and plenty of fine music lined up for you, I'm sure. Tomorrow night in World on Three, Lopper introduces a session by Spider John Koerner, the American guitarist. And on Monday in Jazz on Three, you can hear Troikestra recorded at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival. The parent trio of Troika, that's Chris Montague, Kit Downs and Josh Blackmore, are at the heart of a bigger band, well worth hearing. And in fact, I'm going to end tonight with music recorded by Jazz on Three at this year's very excellent Cheltenham Jazz Festival. The much talked about vibes player Jason Adasiewicz was playing at the Parabola Art Centre, which is such a nice venue. He was there with his Sunrooms trio. That's Devin Hoff on bass and Mike Reed on drums. And thanks to the Jazz on Three team, here's a track for Late Junction called Classic Route. And thanks for your company over this last fortnight. Until next time, from me, Fiona Talkington. Good night. Thank you.
I'm John Shea, and this is BBC Radio 3 with Music Through the Night. I'm starting today at the Slow Wind Festival, that's slow as in Slovenia, which took place last October in Ljubljana. It was only the festival's second year, and its artistic director for 2012, Matthias Pinscher, boldly opened with a concert pairing Mozart with Boulez. Mozart's Grand Partita is lavishly scored with basset horns to enrich the palette of colours. Mozart probably wrote the serenade for the outstanding players of the Bavarian Court Orchestra at Munich. It may also have been played at his own wedding in 1782. At his first public performance a couple of years later, a contemporary called it indescribably grand and magnificent.
Thank you.